All right, good singing tonight. I'm gonna be in Romans tonight, chapter 7, starting the new series. It's really been burning in my heart. I wish everybody was here, but that's fine. The Lord knows who's here and what message needs to be there. And I will preach on this in different services. I'll probably preach 3 or 4 sermons on it. And this is the first in a series called "Why Are We Conservative?" And why are we conservative? This first lesson is we know our nature. Why are we conservative? Because we know our nature. And while you're turning there to Romans 7, this is just something funny I read in my studying for Christmas. What if it had been wise women instead of wise men who came and visited Jesus? Things sure would have been different. If it would have been wise women instead of wise men, they would have asked directions, not stopped at Herod. They would have brought practical gifts instead of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They would have arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts from Babies R Us, including diapers, wipes, bibs, and formula, not gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It would have been an entirely different story. And so just thought that was kind of funny. And Romans... But when we have a baby, if you want to bring gold, frankincense, and more, that's okay with me. We'll accept your gift. And I gave $2 away tonight. I need it right now. But Romans 7. And Romans 7, and well-known passage, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid." You guys recording the message? You guys all know that. Okay, good. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. That's a lot of sin in there in that verse, but it says this commandment, the Bible is the Old Testament, the law, was given that sin might become sinful. We might see it like God sees it, which separates us from him, and it's terrible, and he wants us to understand that. "For we know that the law is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now that it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Notice the separation between me and sin. And a spiritual person begins to separate sin from people. When you see people, you have compassion because you understand what sin is doing in them, but you know inside of them is a person who would like to be set free. No matter how bad they are and don't know that about themselves, we're able to separate that. And we see a nature in something inside of us, and he'll refer to that a little more here. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do right, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that with my mind I serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin." Sin is supposed to appear exceedingly sinful, and then Paul says, "I see my nature here." And he emphasizes nature. And we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll talk about that. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the chance to teach it, Lord. And I know you put this on my heart. I think for the children, it's so important to see this. I think for the adults, it's so important to see this. And as a church, as a direction for our church, we need to understand this, Father. And I pray that you would guide us and help us to see this truth and see the wisdom of it. And I pray that we would think like you think on this. If I'm not thinking correctly, and correct my thought and lead and guide me into all truth. May the word just guide me, and may I speak it truthfully, and may we hear it truthfully, and just see life, your way of thinking, the way you have it, Father. And may we renew our minds and be transformed, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our church is conservative. Now, in the world of politics we live in, everybody thinks conservative. They think Republican, Democrat, conservative politically. I'm not talking at all politics at all right now. I'm not talking about that at all. Our church is conservative. And when I say that, we would be more conservative in most areas in most churches. As a matter of fact, we'd be pretty much more conservative in most areas. Now, we would not be a super conservative church 50 years ago, but now we are. And that's because churches have changed so much, not because the Bible's changed or anything. We are very conservative. We're conservative in so many ways, and we do that on purpose. It's not that I grew up conservative and that's just our tradition, okay? I did not grow up conservative in the least bit. And I did not grow up, my nature is not conservative. My nature is dangerous. And as I preach this sermon, I'm gonna try to transfer our word conservative for careful, okay? Because that's what I mean by conservative. Our music is more careful than the average church music. Our standards and convictions on how we do things is more conservative, more careful than the average church. The holiness that we seek for would be what we'd call more careful or conservative. And the way we look at the Bible, we'd be more careful or conservative. The way we look at the family, you'd look at my family and say, you're a very conservative family. And you'd be right. We are. We are on purpose. That is not my nature. It's not my upbringing at all. And we don't do it because of a tradition of man. We do it on purpose. Paul and gives us a part of this, and this is just a little bit of a foundational message. We'll preach probably four more messages or three more messages on this subject, and I just want to just do the tip of the iceberg in this sermon. But Paul says, I've got a bad nature in me. Paul says, I'm carnal in verse 14. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And we've said before, carnal, it means fleshly. The word carnal, we get the word carnivore, we get the word carnage from it. It means flesh. It's our physical bodies. And he says, I am physical. And when the Bible speaks of the flesh, it speaks in a negative connotation always. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. We'll read in a little while. It says the flesh is bad. And I have a bad nature in me. I am carnal. Now, some people would say, well, once you become a good person, once you start serving God and you get the Spirit of God inside of you and you become righteous, you no longer have that fallen nature and you're no longer bad and want to do bad things. You have a right nature in you. Well, I'm thinking the Apostle Paul, who's writing Scripture right now and was starting churches and the greatest Christian who ever lived probably, I'm thinking that he probably got that good nature in him, but he's still saying, I am carnal. And I think there's a beast of evil inside of you that if you do not acknowledge, you'll get yourself in great trouble. And Paul says, first of all, I'm carnal. He says, I do the opposite of what I want to do because of my flesh. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. That means I don't want to do it. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. I know that's true with me. I don't want to do something bad. I hate it, and I do it. And the things I really want to do, do you ever notice it's easier to do wrong than do right? You don't say, I'm just going to relax and not try anymore, and you just read your Bible and pray and are a blessing and love your enemy and do everything. I mean, you just do everything just right. No. I explain it this way, and I'll explain a different sermon. Your nature is a river flowing downhill, and the water's going downhill. You can swim upstream. Salmon do it, steelhead do it. You and I can do it. But it's not the normal for us. When your enemy hits you on one cheek, your nature doesn't say, I really want you to hit me on the other one. Your nature says, I want to hit you back. It's your natural instinct. Someone gossips about you, you don't want to pray for them. Your nature is fallen. Your nature has that in you. And he says, I have in me this thing that makes me do what I don't want to do. There is something devious in us. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, how to perform that which is good, I find not. There's a devious nature. And one of the most important things in the entire message, understand what I'm talking about tonight, is your fallen nature is something that should scare us about ourselves. Okay? I've said before, and I think sometimes Maybe people think, he's just evil then. I've told you I could ruin my life and go away from God and do terrible things tonight. I can do a lot of bad things. I have a nature that says I want to serve God. I want to do what's right. I love the Lord. I want to live for Him. I want to help the people I love. I want to be a right kind of servant to you and the right kind of pastor to you. But I know there's something in me that could do a whole bunch of bad things. I thought in my devious mind, if I only had a time machine. You're looking at me like I'm wicked, aren't you? And there's some people that I would like to get revenge on over the years. And then just go back in time and not have done it. There are some banks I'd rob, maybe. I don't know what I'd do if I go back in a time machine. Thank God we can't make a time machine. How many of you want to tell me what you would do if you had a time machine? But we don't. And by the way, if you're serving the Lord and you love the Lord, you'd say, but I wouldn't do it even if I had the time machine. Because you have that nature of the Holy Spirit inside of you convicting you, but you have your flesh nature that says, I want to do bad things sometimes. I have some sin that I would like to enjoy the pleasure of for a season. That's in us, and that should scare you about yourself. We'll read a lot of verses about that. But people in the Bible said, I got to be very careful with me. I have a bad nature in me. I gotta be very cautious. Most people do not think that about themselves until they have done very bad things. If you talk to an alcoholic who's been reformed, we'll say, they will say that about themselves. I'm an alcoholic. I can go back to being a complete alcoholic in 1 second. One drink and my whole life's ruined. But I think that's all of us. All of us have the ability and something inside of us, and you should be scared of yourself. You should say, I could really do wrong things and influence bad and ruin opportunities and displease God. It's in me. I know it's inside me. I have a fallen nature. The Bible says we all have a fallen nature inside of us. Number three, Paul knew that his flesh was not a good thing. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelt no good thing. Number four, your flesh is at war with your spirit. Your flesh is at war with your spirit. Verse 21, it says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He says there's a war inside of me, and I see a war, verse 23, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. So you got a couple of things. You got the spirit inside of you that says, I want to serve God. I want to love the Lord. I want to do the right thing. You got another law in your members, which is your flesh, that says, I want to do wrong things. I want to seek revenge. I want to steal. I want to lie. I want to cuss. I want to gossip. I want to whatever your particular sin is. And by the way, not everybody's tempted with every sin. Okay? I'm more introverted and quiet. My nature is probably not as much to gossip. It just probably, it doesn't seem, you know, to me, it's not all that, this is so much fun. Susie beat up Mary and Johnny's dating John Mary. That's just not that entertaining to me. I can think of a lot better sins to do than that. But for some reason, certain people think that's just a ball. You're weird. I could do a lot more fun things than that. But I can do some other things. You might not be tempted. You might say, Pastor, you're talking about ramming somebody when they cut you off on the highway. I would never want to do that. Well, I would. How many of you had the potential, if you had a time machine, you could ram somebody who cut you off and feel real good about it for a little while? How many didn't raise your hand but are lying and really could? All right? And another person says, I would never do anything like that. But we've got that. We've all got something in us that says, I can do some bad things. One person would be very immoral in sexual ways very quickly. Another person just that thought scares them. Another person says, you know what, I could go and I like to lie. You ever know somebody likes to lie? if they could tell the truth or tell a lie, and I'm lying. I mean, it's fun to them. It's just their nature. I don't know why, but they just like to lie. It's just we've all got some stuff in us. And before you look down on somebody else, remember, you got something in you like to do wrong too. If you ever get thinking you're better than everybody else, just ask your spouse or ask your parents. And they'll tell you, You got some issues too, buddy. And that's all of us. Our flesh is at war with our spirit. They war against each other. Number five, because of this, we must not walk after the flesh. Watch Romans 8 as we go forward here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There's a war. Spirit, flesh. Those who walk after the spirit, there's no condemnation for them. Those who walk to the flesh, there's condemnation for them. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak in through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. To be carnally minded, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind, a fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, for they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We realize that we cannot walk after the flesh. For a few things on this. Number one, don't trust the flesh. Paul says, Philippians 3:4, I put no confidence in the flesh. Number one, you don't trust the flesh. Number two, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13 and verse 14. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm going to get back to that verse a lot, maybe over the next few weeks, but even tonight. It says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Next, put your flesh to death. Romans 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Because we are not to walk after the flesh, we don't trust the flesh, we don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, and we put the flesh to death. Now, let me get the sermon in a sentence and then illustrate it for you. Because of the powerful pull of our nature, we always go away from the flesh, and that makes us careful or conservative. That's the whole message. Okay? I understand in my nature, and in everybody that I'll pastor's nature, and everybody I'll know nature, there's two natures. There is a spirit of God, when they get saved, that says, I want to serve God and do right. And then there's that other nature that says, I want to go do wrong things. Understanding that that is in every single person, we choose to not walk toward the flesh. We choose to walk toward the spirit. And in everything we look at and every decision we make and how we think on everything, from how a person dresses to what kind of music we listen to what kind of words we use in our language, we always err this way toward the spirit. Okay? So, let's just take language. Okay? I don't use four-letter words, if you know what I mean. I use the word work and things like that, but you know what I'm talking about. Bad cuss words, four-letter words. Okay? There is a sin to cuss, okay? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But since if this is the middle here, if I'm sitting here and, okay, there's a lot of words people use to substitute for cuss words. Okay? A lot of people do that. I could do that, and I might say I didn't sin, but that's what I want to do. I slam my finger with a hammer and I say some word that isn't a four-letter cuss word, but I say a word. But I say, you know what? My flesh wants to do that. And other points, the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. So I'm going to go this way. So in my home, we don't use substitute cuss words. You follow? I'm erring on this side. I'm careful because I know the way we do things. Now, I'll give you much more practical things than that. Okay, let me illustrate it this way.
Where'd it go?
Okay, I have here a gun. Run. We'll get out of line now, and everybody's awake. And, okay, this gun is broken. It's a little 380. It's cracked right there, and the little case right there is broken. Okay, safety's off. There's no bolt in the chamber. Pop out. No clip. No bolt in the chamber. Okay, so this gun right now is not loaded. It is broken. The clip is out. Okay? Is this gun going to shoot? No. Am I going to point it at you? Why? It's not going to shoot. There is. It's unloaded. But why wouldn't I point it at you? Okay. No bullet in there. No clip in there. And the safety is now on. I'm still not going to point it at you. Why? Because I'm conservative. Make sense? I could point this gun at you and it's not going to go off. Okay? I know guns. This gun is not going to go off. This gun is not shot in a dozen years. Okay? As a matter of fact, I don't know what to do with the dumb thing. It broke. I don't know what to do with the broken gun. I'd throw it at a criminal, I guess. But I don't know what to do with the thing. So, this gun, but I'm not going to. Why? Because over here, I could say, I got pointed at you and it's not going to shoot you no matter what. I'm not worried about it. But what if I'm wrong? So what do? I err way over here. And as a matter of fact, you won't even see it me waving it your direction. I could wave it at the ceiling right now. And it wouldn't shoot you. Right? But I'm going to go over here. I'm not even going to point in your direction. Why? Because I'm being conservative. I'm being careful. Because if I'm wrong, being wrong on this side, no problem. And somebody might say, Pastor, you're ridiculously careful with a gun. Right? I am. If you ever go shoot with me, I'm very careful with guns. Very careful. And I'm not even pointing it towards you right now. Okay? And I'm erring over here. And you know what? I've never shot anybody. But you know some people who didn't intend to have shot some people? Okay. Why? Because they said, I know what I'm doing. There's no gun. There's no bolt in the chamber. And when they made a mistake, it was tragic. So, I do the same thing with life. Because you know what? I think sin's real dangerous. So, put my gun back in here. Put it back in the pulpit. So that has nothing to do with the sermon. I just want to make you know you better not mess with me. But I do that now. And by the way, guess what? Did you know when I just put that in that holder and put it in the pulpit, did you know it's not pointing toward you? And did you know when I put it in the pulpit earlier, it pointed away from you, and it's not pointing toward me either. For a matter of fact, that was the first priority. You know why? Because I'm very careful with guns. And so you can criticize me. And you say, you are ridiculously careful with guns. We saw it's unloaded. I don't have a bullet with me. However, I have no problems over here in shooting. I never shoot anybody. And you know the strange thing is in life? I say in life, you know what? I got to be careful about myself. I'm going to be really far over here. And guess what? I've been serving God 25 years, and I've never fallen. I've never been unfaithful to my wife. Okay? I don't go back and get drunk ever. I had a problem chewing tobacco, and I haven't chewed tobacco in 25 years. Okay? Why? Because I don't hang around Copenhagen anymore. Okay? And a lot of people hang around over here because they trust their flesh. Okay? They trust the safety on their gun. You gun people, do you trust the safety on your gun?
No.
Anybody who knows a gun knows you do not trust your safety on a gun. But will the safety work most of the time? Yeah. But you don't trust it because it's too dangerous. And everything that I do in thinking, that's the way I think in the spiritual realm. Because there's a lot of things that aren't my nature that I don't like. We do that. So here's a guy who has a real temper problem. He gets angry. He's beaten up several people. He can't control his temper. And he has a real road rage problem. And he's going on I-5. And he puts a gun next to him in his seat. Do you think that's wise? Does he plan on shooting anybody? No. But if I were him, would I have a gun in my car? No. Matter of fact, I wouldn't drive I-5. Or Pack Highway. I'm a military buddy. And I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I would say, I am not going to put myself in a situation. I'm going to be over careful with this thing. I'm going to be very careful. That's a way of thinking that determines how you think about things in most ways in life. A person who has a problem with alcohol, he might be able to go to a bar. He might be able to drink casually and drink just one. He might. But if I were an alcoholic, I wouldn't. I would be way over here. And a matter of fact, a person who's an alcoholic, he might be able to have alcohol up in his cupboard. But if I were him, I would never make rum cake. And I would never have it any alcohol in my house. Why? Because everything I do, I assume my flesh is very weak and very dangerous and warring against me. And so I'm not going to go way over here where one little slip and my flesh has got me and destroys me. So I hang out way over here and I live way over here. And you know what? The Bible says if you do certain things, you'll never fall. So I like to live in careful land. You can call that conservative land. I'm very careful with my music. My daughters are very careful, and my wife, the way they dress. Why? Because if you hang around right here, one lustful look, one bad person who's attracted to them, we're in real trouble. And guess what? You know people criticize me for being way over here? Criticize me. Go ahead. But you know what? I never shot anybody. I'm still in the will of God. I've never fallen. A lot of preachers fall. Do I have to never be alone with a woman to stay happily married? No. I'm way over here. I'm never alone with a woman. If a woman invites me to the house, say, Pastor, I need you to come pray for me. Come in my house and pray for me. I'll say, is anybody else in the house? They'll say, no. I'll say, I can't come in. Do I have a Bible verse that says that? There's not a single Bible verse that tells me that. But over here is pretty safe. And I know and have sat with lunch with a preacher who did that and is no longer in the ministry and has a pregnant girl who wasn't his wife. Because he hung around over here and he wasn't conservative or careful. So you can criticize and say, why are you guys so goody-two-shoes about stuff? Because my flesh is pretty powerful. Because I don't trust my flesh, because our flesh is very powerful. It's a very careful thing. Maybe you can go to the bar, Mr. Alcoholic, but I bet you the guy who doesn't go to the bar and the guy who doesn't have the alcohol in his house and the guy who doesn't take a casual drink who used to be an alcoholic, I bet you they have a lot higher percentage of not going back to being alcoholics. Amen. I bet you they do. It's a very good to be very careful in these things. So I look at my music. I got saved and really got on fire for God in 1986. So I love music from the 80s, early and mid 80s. And my music, my flesh, did you know my flesh does not like Amazing Grace? My flesh does not like I Sing the Mighty Power of God or Silent Night, We Sing the Night. My flesh does not like, my flesh kind of music is anything from 80s and 70s love songs from Journey and Air Supply and REO Speedwagon to heavy metal to stuff like Motley Crue or Def Leppard or Scorpions or Van Halen. That's what I like. If you said, what do you want to listen to right now? Hair bands. Because I'm jealous. But that's what I listen to. And I could listen to those things. And by the way, when it's playing somewhere, my flesh loves it. Guess how many of those cassettes, guess how many of those CDs I still have. But I won't listen to them. I'll just keep them around for memory's sake. I would listen to them again. Because I don't trust myself. And by the way, you have your old music in your house. You're probably going to listen to music. And by the way, that music's ungodly. There's some pretty bad stuff I listen to that just has some pretty satanic things in it. And God doesn't like it. And so I say, I got to stay a long way away from that. Okay? You are very careful. So let's take areas of life. I don't want to preach all my sermons ahead of time. I mean, let's just take a few areas of life. Let's take dating. Okay? Okay? Here's a couple. Don't commit fornication. Okay? You're not supposed to sleep together. Okay. Couple over here. They just make out and are alone at house in a bed. Okay? Do you think there's a chance that they might fall? Show me one Bible verse that says, I can't make out with my girlfriend in the bed. I can show you a Bible verse that says, you're an idiot. Okay? Okay? So, maybe if they don't touch at all, they're probably pretty safe. How about if they say, you know what, when we date, we are never going to be alone? You're pretty safe. You know, some of you would have been better off if that would have, you'd done that. We're never going to be alone. That'd be a good start. You know, you don't do a whole bunch of bad stuff in front of mom and dad. So you go over here and you say, I want to look conservatively. I want to look carefully at this because you know what? I have a fallen nature. I don't trust my nature. I want to be very careful. Maybe I won't touch it all. Or maybe I'll never be alone. Or maybe I'll be very conservative in that stuff. And you say, Pastor, every church, boy, they just, you know, everybody does that stuff. Now, well, I don't get my idea of what's right and wrong from what everybody does in our society. Do you? Are you crazy? You ever watch TV? They aren't saying, you know, you all be holy out there and stay right and pure in God's eyes. That's not what they do. The music doesn't do that. Our entire society is pushing you downhill. And you've got to say, you know what? No, I'm going to be very careful in my life. Do I have to go to every single church service the church has? No, but I did. Why? Because I know that people stay in church all the time, don't fall. And I can't show you one verse that says you have to go on Sunday night, Sunday morning, Thursday night, and Saturday. So I don't have a verse that says that. I just know what happens when people don't do that. And I know if you miss 1 week and all you go is Sunday morning, you are actually at a church for 2.5 weeks. And you usually get in big trouble and don't do well. So I'm conservative and I stay way over here and I stay way. And when I stand in front of God, I'll say, God, he might say, you went to church too much. And if he accuses me of that, that's fine. But I don't think he's going to say, you are too stinking holy. God's not going to say that. Matter of fact, everybody gets in God's presence and says, woe is me, I'm unholy. And those are holy people, Isaiah and John. So I like to stay over here. I don't think I'm going to get to God and God's going to say, you know, you were just too holy for me. But a lot of people like to hang around here and say, you can't show me one single Bible verse that says I can't do this. Okay, I can't. But you know what? I've watched 5,000 of you fall because you're not careful. I watched a bunch of you say, who cares? Gun's not loaded. Safety works. And it's not pretty when it fails. And it's not pretty when you're not careful. And so we look at the Bible and we say, what does the Bible say? And we do what the Bible says. And then within the realm, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay. The Bible says don't commit adultery, but I'm not going to go and get intimate and close in my conversations with the woman because I'm careful. Because I'm careful. And I'm going to go in my music, and I'm going to say, you know what? I like this kind of music, but here's this is thou shalt not music, and over here is where I'm dragging it, but you know what? I'm going to go really careful with my music, and I don't like it as much, to be honest with you. I would like music in church that has much more of a rock beat. I would like much more in my personal life to listen to music that more contemporary Christian music. But I know that puts me about right here. By the way, when I first got saved, didn't have any wisdom, I started listening to Christian heavy metal because that's what I was used to. Started listening to Stryper and Petra and all these things, and rock, and I started listening to that, and my flesh liked it somewhat. Although they're pretty bad compared to the secular musicians. But I started listening to it, and then my spirit started saying, you know what, you're just substituting. You need to give your music all the way to me and be careful with your music. So I go over here, and I know what churches listen to. I know what people play in churches, and I know what Christian. I know what 105.3 plays. I understand all that. And you say, I listen to 105.3, Pastor. That's fine. Listen to it. I'm just saying I hang out over here, and I'm careful because I know I can very quickly, if I hang around right about here, I know very quickly I can go, whoa! And I'm back to my old music. And you know what? I've never gone back to my old music. And you know, a lot of Christians never get rid of their music. And then if they get rid of it, they go back to it. Why? They're not careful. Not careful. So we try to stay away from those things. We don't have cable TV. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not have cable TV. But you know what? I'd probably watch bad things. And I'd waste a lot of time, I know. Why? Just be careful. This is a wise general principle. Let me take you to Proverbs 4 and show you this. So Paul knew his nature. Paul knew his weakness. Paul knew there's a war in his flesh, so he didn't want to give the enemy armament, so he's very conservative in the way he did things, the way he approached things. I am conservative in the way I approach the Bible, in the way I look at doctrine. I try to think things in a careful way. Now, remember this, I'm not conservative. I'm not cautious in my nature. If you want to go skydiving, scuba diving, parajumping, I'm all in. I'm nuts. I'm not careful. But in the spiritual realm, I try to be careful. Proverbs 4. In verse 14. Enter not in the path of the wicked. There's your command. Okay, don't enter the path of the wicked. Okay, we can all agree. Go not the way of evil men. Okay, good. Verse 15 is different. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. That's different. See the difference there? This is the path you are not supposed to go on. So you don't go down and say, what does that path look like? Whoa! That's not what you do. It says don't go down the path, but it says don't even go by it. Don't even go close to that path. Be very cautious along that path. Don't do the questionable things. Don't be in the questionable area. Now, I don't want to give you every illustration in life about the way to think this way. I just want to say, do not trust yourself enough to put yourself in danger. That's why we're conservative. That's why we're more careful. That's why we don't get our styles and ideas from the world. We're not going to go to the world and their fashion shows and learn how my family should dress and how girls should dress. The Bible has a lot to say about women's modesty. And besides, they're weird. And I'm not going to go to those weird people with the wearing a planter on their head and all the other weird things they do. I'm not going to go to those folks and learn how to my family should dress, wearing a garbage bag and twisted side or whatever they do. Weird, man. We don't do that. We don't go and decide what kind of music the world likes and that's the kind of music we're going to play in church. No. We're going to be careful. And so when you young folks, you better decide ahead of time, what are you going to do when you go date if you date someday? Are you going to get, my children have told me, Dad, we want to get your permission before we date somebody. Bible say to do that? No. Think it's a good idea? A whole bunch of you are nodding, yeah, I think it's a good idea. I hope my kids ask me. Now, do they have to do that? No, but they've learned to be careful. And we, as Christians, should realize we've got a war in our flesh, so I better not trust myself to be right in the... Now, can I tell you? Enough temptation is going to come upon you in this life. There's no way to avoid temptation. It's going to come. Just don't put yourself in the middle of it. That's the key. It's just be careful. Don't, if you have someone, you know, who drives you insane and always makes you lose your temper, don't go hang around them. It's easier not to lose your temper and pummel them. Okay? Always think, what can I do to be careful? What can I do not to pass by? Because when you understand the war in your nature and the war in your body, and then, okay, so let me go back one more. Let me go back just a little bit with this and explain this. Let's take church. Okay? You're the faithful people of the church. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know people who we love, who come to Open Door, who we care about, and we're so happy they come to every service. But you know they don't come faithfully, and you know they're going to be in trouble, don't you? You just know. They need church. And you know what? I've said this before. I've told you. If I didn't go to church and miss a week of church, I'd be in real trouble. You've heard me say that before. You say, Pastor, be in real trouble? Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't, but I'm over here. Why? I have to be careful. I want to stay as an elite Christian, okay? And listen, for me to stay in shape and stay in the shape I'm in right now, it doesn't take much work. But you know that an elite athlete, somebody who's ridiculously, you take a Navy SEAL, you take a person who's a triathlon runner, or somebody's just a very, the guys who do the bike races, the Tour de France, those guys. Did you know if they mess up on 1 week of their routine and their exercise and their eating, did you know it really messes them up? Because they're trying to be elite. Me? I can eat a bacon burger tomorrow and I you wouldn't believe I've eaten already at Christmas. I'm not elite enough, doesn't matter that much, but if you want to be an elite Christian, You got to be careful. And so when we think of this just as one area, we're going to get in many other areas to go along and understand a lot more things, not just this one principle. This is just a founding principle. We're going to understand several other things about being careful and about being conservative with music, with dress, with talk, with thinking, with television, with whatever, and understand why we as a church do certain things. And by the way, it bleeds into your doctrine. Because when you get loose in worldly thinking and you're in everything else in life, it'll bleed into doctrine. And people who are not careful become not careful in their Bible interpretation and do it very slackly and don't stick with what the Bible says. That eventually happens. Follow movements of Christianity and watch them change and get on that slippery slope and watch all their doctrine change. From where they used to stand, thus saith the Lord, now they aren't anymore. Let's be careful. Let's be conservative and be careful because we know we have a war. The title of the message is why we are conservative. One, because we know our nature. We know our nature. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we'd be people that understand the nature that Paul did. That I know that in me that is my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Lord, help us to be careful in our lives. Help us to be cautious. Help us to look at things the way you look at them and be very careful in our lives, understanding the danger we're in if we're not careful and how quickly a life can be destroyed. Father, please help us to do so. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You're the faithful folks. You're here on Sunday night of Christmas. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.